Keith, welcome to the Pilgrim Talks.
Thank you very much, Will. Excited to be chatting with you.
So tell us a little bit about this whole world of cell phone site acquisition. I know that lots of people are so thankful that we can now go from one end to the other on 133 without having to hang up our phones. So kudos
yes.
to whoever put those sites together.
Well, and the great thing is the wireless technology, as we went through the last changes in economic cycles, and whether we call it a depression or a recession, let's just call it a change. A neat thing happened for our industry. The wireless phones from 20 years ago, those things that took up a whole back end of a car, then became a bag, then became a brick, then became something that executives had, now more people have wireless phones than have wired lines in their homes. Technology has gone from being a neat to have to being a need to have to being a necessity. And as we look forward to what 4G, the next generation of wireless, looks like, hopefully our infrastructure will be able to keep the domestic component of our economy at the forefront, because many economic studies have said access to broadband connections facilitates commerce. You know, whether it's people checking emails on a very basic level, communicating documents, or on a more sophisticated level, some of the M2M or machine-to-machine applications. The drivers for growth really are taking technology from being technology for technology's sake and using it to make people's lives easier. And for carriers, wireless carriers such as Verizon or Sprint or AT&T, T-Mobile, MetroPCS, Clearwire, all of them are focused on providing a better experience for customers and figuring out ways that technology can make them more productive or, God forbid, increase the quality of their lives. And as a result of that, the infrastructure to support it becomes critical. So as you mentioned, on the 133 and the 241, for those of us who go back and forth between Riverside and Orange County, it's great that we now, both from a pure communication standpoint, but also from a public safety standpoint, are able to maintain a call all the way through that area. And it's been exciting working with carriers as they continue to look at ways that technology makes an impact on customers. Customers, as we've seen, don't care whether they have such a thing called a DSL line or a cable line or a T1. They don't care about what the technology is. As we've moved into mainstream adoption, it's what it does for them. And it's been great to watch our customers really get a handle on what that means and recognize how much planning they need to do to meet the future needs of their customers. And with our firm, we've been able to adopt a position that's really been about customer intimacy. And to us, that means seeing where our customers, our wireless carriers, are trying to go and helping them get there faster, whether it's working with cities to educate them on the importance of, as I mentioned, public safety for what commerce can be conducted with, to, you know, just the general communications. It's been an exciting journey for us to take a look at reconstructing a food chain from being a reactionary component where a carrier would say to us, hey, we need a new tower put up in this geographic area, to us kind of being ahead of the curve and saying, what are the critical success factors for adoption of this technology to make everyone's lives better? So we've been able to create a public relations kind of outreach strategy that's helped to educate all the constituencies to what the benefits are, because all of us enjoy having a phone call that doesn't drop, and that's going to go into the future to having instant access to everything that's near and dear to us and sharing it. But nobody really wants one of those things, those cell towers, in the backyards. In the industry, it's called NIMBY, not in my backyard. However, when people understand the importance of E911 and safety, when they understand the critical infrastructure and what it means to our national security, when they understand commerce and what it gives them the ability to do, and when people understand the fact that their hair doesn't fall out from having one of these towers close by, that the carriers are so focused on making it safe for customers and not having to worry, that the regulatory bodies are so involved in that, it's largely an educational and an evangelistic process. So it's been exciting for us to deconstruct and reconstruct a food chain to help our clients get to market faster, and then the benefits that brings to all of their customers.
That's amazing, because what I'm hearing is you're certainly being customer-centric. What I'm also hearing is you are looking at customers and becoming part of their strategic planning, even if it's a B2C customer. I mean, it sounds to me like you're talking all the way down the line, ultimately that person who's going to be using the phone and putting up with the cell phone in, you know, on their block, put a cell tower on their block.
Yes. Yes. In many respects, if people don't know any better, the fear is always a driver when it comes to change. We've been very fortunate to be a part of public hearings where citizens are really concerned. They were objecting not because they didn't want one of these towers in their backyards. It's more because they didn't understand what it meant from those key components that I mentioned, the public safety, the ability to conduct commerce, the importance of E911 and critical national infrastructure post-9/11, and then the concern of, oh, my gosh, health concerns. And once people understand that, and cities start to get behind it and say, wow, this really will help us attract and retain businesses that bring better-paying jobs, that's where it starts to become really exciting. And to be fortunate enough to work with all of the wireless carriers and to, I think, as you said it, become part of their food chain, part of their planning process, to share the wisdom that we've learned over the past decade of working with the different constituencies and making it truly a win-win, it's been an exciting journey. And I think one of the most rewarding parts for our organization was that when a large part of the economy really suffered in the last economic downturn, we actually were able to grow our business by almost threefold over the past 18 months and create really good-paying jobs. And it's not just creating good-paying jobs for us. Those could create good-paying jobs, build infrastructure, like the old, you know, roadways, the railways, the telegraph system. We're building the next generation of critical infrastructure, which creates more jobs and better opportunities for people. And what we've seen from our customers is the paradigm has shifted. We've gone from being paid to do discrete services to being viewed a little bit higher in their planning food chain, where they look at us for our expertise and how we might help them get to market faster and communicate the benefits for everyone involved. So it's been an interesting paradigm shift to change the rules of engagement on how they think about things. And then in our industry, we've made a commitment to hiring employees, not contractors, but employees, in providing the care and feeding and developing them, providing a flexible work environment so those people that, you know, need to take care of their kids or extended families could still have an opportunity to contribute and have a career. And that's given us some of the best people. And those best people have really helped our customers through the process. And everyone's been a winner in it. And we've also kind of changed the rules of engagement for our competitors.
How's that?
So in many respects, people are now, our customers are really, well, they'll pay us for products and our services, rather. What they're really getting is our knowledge capital and our expertise and our positioning as a thought leader. So we truly are working on being a value-added partner for our customers as opposed to the historical vendor relationship.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit, just a little bit about what we can expect from 4G deployment, and maybe you can tell us a little about when we might see that coming.
Great questions. So the broadband speeds that many people get in their homes, regardless of the infrastructure that they use, whether it's a cable modem or a DSL line or in a business a T1 line, instead of having that only available on a wired basis, those same types of speeds will be available wirelessly. So talk about freeing people up. Yeah. Think about being able to truly work anywhere. And, you know, we happen to live in one of these horrible areas, right, where the beaches and mountains are both so close, it's difficult to live here. You know, the sunny yes. blue skies, 360 out of 365 days a year. We're creating an infrastructure that anytime, anywhere, wireless access to information and sharing of that becomes enabled. So everything that's done in the wired world with 4G will be able to be done in the wireless world.
Then this will take the place of projects for putting wireless around a city then. I mean, in Laguna Beach, we have a wireless deployment. It's a Laguna Beach wireless, and I know in Seattle they have a wireless deployment in the city. So 4G would allow anybody to plug in through their cell phone provider.
Yes, instead of having to go through a Wi-Fi provider and a separate service and subscription, as long as somebody has a data plan on their phones, they're able to have that same type of broadband access no matter where they are.
And so the iPad is really a model of that right now, right?
Well, the iPad will be the first of the real devices coming out that make computing and kind of the – while laptops are useful, they're still largely a business tool. The iPad is just a great device from the standpoint of having business and fun put together and have life at your fingertips in an easy-to-use fashion. And then, you know, think about that. If you had the same speeds as you did in your office with your laptop on that device anywhere you went, it's amazing what type of cool new applications would happen. I mean, look at the Internet when it being an early Internet pioneer in building one of the first Tier 1 national Internet service providers in our backyard in Irvine. I was able to see technology that was a bit ahead of demand. And instead of demand driving technology, the Internet was deployed, and almost a decade later, the applications now are coming on board. So instead of the model being, you know, we'll use technology to enable applications, applications are now spurring and driving technology. And stuff we never thought about doing before. You know, whether it's, you know, using your cell phone to turn off your lights at home or record a show, accessing heavy content, streaming media, whether it's a video or an audio, you know, all those things become a reality. Whether it's a healthcare monitoring, as we have an aging population, having the monitoring functionality where regardless of where somebody goes, no matter what happens, they have access to their medical information, and critical information can go back and forth. I mean, that could really reduce this huge healthcare cost and burden that we have. And that's just the beginning of things.
Well, I mean, to me, we just got through talking to Brad Caldwell about video presence and video conferencing. It seems to follow pretty clearly that a tablet device like the iPad on 4G would be able to do a tremendous amount of video conferencing, especially in a family, or selling to customers. It just seems to me when I start thinking about that, it just opens so many possibilities.
Yes, and having the infrastructure to facilitate that is really exciting to be a part of.
Now, you,
and to be able to,
you were also talking about how you're using a green implementation in working with cell sites.
Yes. So what in listening to our customers, again, the customer intimacy theme, you know, they recognize that some of perhaps their corporate social responsibility campaigns could actually translate into bottom line savings. The ability to reduce carbon emissions and reduce a carbon footprint to make our world more sustainable for generations to come becomes something that most people get excited about doing. So what we're looking at doing is understanding that our customers are looking at ways to become more efficient with their energy utilization and reduce it. At that same point in time, it's represented an opportunity to say, based upon the wind and sun characteristics that we have throughout Southern California, there is the opportunity to create a very low emission, close to a zero carbon footprint cell site that in many respects actually is more cost effective to operate than those hooked into the grid. And we could carry that forward by perhaps working with our customers to overpower these cell sites in kind of people's neighborhoods and provide that excess energy that truly is green to power their homes, thereby reducing everyone's cost.
Sounds like you got your hands around some pretty big projects there, Keith. That's exciting.
We're very, very fortunate, Will, to have a tremendous group of forward-looking clients, to have a paradigm shift in an industry that, you know, is having people begin to think, because it seems in some respects the last couple of years people's heads have been down globally and just focused on survival. And now we're getting back to the thinking side and how do we really get ahead? How do we make things better? Where does innovation come in? And then we're blessed to have a staff of folks who are committed to making our customer experience and our customers' experience, rather, the best it can be, helping them get to market faster, helping them do it more cost-effectively, and being excited about working for a young, growing company who values them and has created a culture where we prize innovation. You know, we've got some folks that have gone out and gotten certain green certifications from the U.S. Green Building Council and Commission that have taken it upon themselves to get ahead of all this. And that's the type of workplace that we foster. So we've got the best people. And, of course, we're a little biased when we say that, but we really do. So great people, great customers. We've got a vision where we want to go, which is helping California's built environment, putting California back on top. We've got a great state. We should have a great economy associated with it.
Well, if somebody wanted to support you, wanted to participate, are there places where other businesses could be helpful to you?
You know, it's a good question. I think as 4G begins to roll out, we'll be doing more local awareness campaigns at the city level, because the cities are a critical component. They're the constituency of educating cities so they can educate their folks, I think, is probably the key point. So having businesses stay tuned to what's coming and individuals stay tuned as to what's coming. And, of course, our website is www.core.us.com. We're trying to update that with different thought pieces on technology, on green, and create kind of our own little think tank for wireless in our world, and would love any type of participation that folks would like to have in that.
Well, you know, one of the things that you might think about, and we can talk about this later too, but you could do some seminars, some workshops on OC Talk Radio.
That's a great idea.
I think we could probably talk to the producer and twist his arm a little bit and get some time to do some things, especially as you roll through various communities.
Yes, what I really like about the OC Talk Radio, the format, is it's in our own backyard. I mean, we are pilgrims on the 405 or the 5 or any of the other thoroughfares that we travel. And it's neat to have a place where there's a repository of what, you know, some thought leaders are doing and what that could mean to our local economy and community. So love the idea.
Yeah, well, I think that's great, and we really look forward to welcoming you into that community when we put all these pilgrims who have been on the show together to get to know each other a little bit better. Well, is there anything else that you would like to, if you had a megaphone and you could speak for a minute to business owners in Orange County, what would you ask them to do, tell them to do, what would you encourage them to do?
Thank you. I think I like your last phrase the best. I would encourage them to keep their heads up, to use a downtime in an economy to look at ways to reduce their costs, but more importantly, increase their knowledge capital, to develop their employees, because employees are at the heart of everything we do. And an individual who cares about what they do and believes that their company is behind them is a really powerful force. And this could be the time that we create that knowledge economy in Orange County, that we take it to the next level. So use this time as a time to retool. And while the industry cost curve always has to go down, it's amazing the resources that our people have inside them. And when we get them engaged in our business, and then we extend that out to our clients, some pretty powerful things happen.
That's wonderful. I really appreciate that, Keith. And I really thank you, as do all of our listeners. Thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to be with us here on Pilgrim Talks on OC Talk Radio.
Thank you very much. Very exciting to be a part of it and look forward to meeting my fellow pilgrims.
Wonderful. Well, there we are. Another set of Pilgrim Talks where we see the future. Not only the future of technology, but the future of Orange County. The quality of CEOs that we have in Orange County is amazing. Innovation, creativity, the care and concern they have not only for their customers, but also for their employees, recognizing that the biggest asset that a company has is not its machines, it's not its technology, it's not its connections, it's the people who are working in it. And how we improve the quality of their life, improve their knowledge base, improve their ability to communicate, improve the management that we have for them so that they're motivated to take that next step. These are the values that Orange County has, and I'm proud to be part of it. And it's wonderful to take time up and down the 405, stopping here and there where I'm invited in to talk to CEOs, to hear about what they've been through, how they've had to adapt, what kind of new ponds they're finding to draw water from, and where they see their company going and how that company is in collaboration as we create and innovate the new Orange County. So there we are. Glad to be with you on this wonderful, beautiful Wednesday after Memorial Day. So find a soldier, tell them thanks. Thank you for being part of OC Talk Radio.
You've been listening to the one and only Will Chris, the Pilgrim on the 405, only on octalkradio.net.